1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to talk about moms in through this passage, but the title today, Pursue What Is Good. Pursue What Is Good. And, you know, believers are instructed in a multitude of ways to do what is right, what is good, but it's what's right and what's good as God defines it and as He determines. And we live in a day and age, man has always had alternate definitions of what's good and it's what's right. But I do think in our culture, we're seeing a real clash in that area, is what's good, what's right. And so there's the rub, all right? Many people think they're doing what is right, but they're not using the mind of Christ. They've got a different mentality, different, quote, wisdom, end quote. And so today we have become so messed up on what is good that some in the government think it's good to subvert the duty of parents to raise their kids in order for them to be scammed into transgender surgeries. And it isn't easy being a young girl or a young boy in any time period. But in our culture, that has lost all mooring on the really the meaning and the of truth and what is true. So all children wrestle with what, you know, you think about that as a kid growing up. All children wrestle, whether a little boy thinking of becoming a man. Yeah, there's that part where they say, they get to do all the fun stuff, right? You know, but there's also that as you get closer and closer, that responsibility. And same thing with a young woman, a young girl, looking forward or looking ahead, maybe not looking forward, but looking ahead at what would be an adult girl. How do you define a woman? An adult female, you know, looking ahead, that can be intimidating, taking your place amongst the adults and so challenge. And so we need to, I do believe young people need encouragement these days, that the way God has worked, yes, he creates, he gives us ability. There's a certain aspect that we can't change that, you know? And so you got to learn to deal with that. And yet there's a good in it. There's something good in it if we give ourselves to it and trust the Lord. And so there's this, and you can see this signature within God, the things that God does. There's a certain amount of trust me, right? Go forth, do good, do what's right. And yeah, you're gonna have some problems and fail along the way, but don't let that paralyze you. Go forth in faith and trust God, and it will produce something good. And so let's look at our passage today in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 12. And this is Paul writing to the Thessalonians. And he's not necessarily specifically speaking about moms, but let's read this. It says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this time together, for those, Lord, you placed in our lives at different times in our life. We've had different aspects of authorities over us, and so, Lord, we look to you as the ultimate authority from whom any authority that exists receives its authority. And so we praise you, Lord, and we want to rise up and bless moms today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first point, no shocker, honor mothers. What we're attempting to do this morning to honor moms. Exodus chapter 20, where we have the Ten Commandments, right? Commandment number 5, if you're Protestant. Commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother. And then what does it say? So that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, right? So I'm going to note two things about this. The command is addressed in that command, honor your father and your mother. It's addressed to the individual. It's not you guys honor mothers and fathers. It's you, Marty. No, you, insert name here, honor your father and your mother. It's very specific. And of course, if each of us are taking that from the Lord and saying, "Okay, Lord, your servant, yes, Lord, your servant hears and will obey," then of course the whole society will be honoring mothers and fathers. But the onus is upon the individual, not the group. And so the onus is on me. And the second thing I would point out is that the Hebrew word here for honor has a sense of weight and value, okay? If you have gold and silver, you might notice that the weight doesn't change, but the valuation might change, right? And so there's a certain aspect of value, even though we would say gold and silver have an inherent value, that the level of that is a little bit transient. Just depends how much people demanding gold, how much is available, laws of supply and demand. And so there is a sense upon us to, they are a heavy thing in your life, whether you inherently, doesn't matter what you think about it, that's a heavy thing in your life. But then there's that part inside of me that needs to put a high value on it, right? Wow, that's a heavy thing. That's an important thing. That's a valuable thing. And so we need to we need to see mothering and moms that's an important thing. And I think our society has done a lot over the decades to diminish being a mom. It's more important than being a hedge fund trader. It's more important than running Twitter. It's more important than making electric cars. And quit picking on Elon now. Who's somebody else? It's more important than trying to figure out longevity at Google. Whatever. All these things that we can tell. Oh, so important. It's more important than what all the great powerful organizations are doing. On the global level to try to fix the problems of the world, is being a mom. It's a heavy, important, in fact, to be honest, and this is just how God operates, and it's the same thing's true for fathering, is that if we really understood how heavy it is, we probably would just it's kind of like, remember Jesus talking about marriage, that if you divorce for just any old reason, and then remarry, you're causing that person to commit adultery. And the disciples are like, oh, well, then we should never get married in the first place. And because we're so used to making things light and it's not that big of a deal. But God makes heavy things, heavy, valuable, priceless things that are so priceless that we might balk at wanting to participate in them. But the point is that God, it's what he made us for. Heavy things. And I can't lift that. I can't do that. I can't hold that up. It's too heavy. No, that's why we need Jesus. Amen? That's why we need the Spirit of God. And so what do I do when we talk about honoring moms, honoring parents in our life? What do I do when they have legitimately hurt me? And I do always try to touch on this because it's the big question. We have so much dysfunction in our society. And whether you're dealing with this or not, you're going to run into somebody, or probably have already, who is dealing with this, right? And almost always the question is, what does it mean to honor? Or how could I honor them? They've done dishonorable things in my life. I've hurt me strongly. And of course, there's no easy answers to those who are in such a position. I do believe we're intended to wrestle with it. That's part of the importance that it's love is not an to say, well, just love them. Well, yes, love, but what does it mean when this happens and when that happens? And so there's a certain wrestling in love, just as there's a certain wrestling in honor of what does it mean now to honor him. And guess what? Moms have dealt with this their whole life when they're loving that little kid, right? Oh, the little bundle that all it's doing is spitting up and fluids come out both ends, right? It's just, okay, that's trouble. Waking up in the middle of the night, yeah, it's kind of annoying, but you know, just wait. You know, their ability to stretch your understanding of, okay, what does it mean to love now? Lord, help me, right? And so there's a testing, and yet there's a good thing happening in us when we wrestle with, what does it mean to honor? And so the key is not to cast off the value or the importance of what they are in your life. If you treat it lightly, you're not being honest with God and yourself. Yeah, if they hurt you, that's big. That's huge. And you're going to need God to help you get healing over that. But something's going on in your parents' life, right? And I love how DJ shared that testimony this morning about leading his mom to the Lord or praying for her in those moments. You know, that that happens. It you could say it shouldn't be so, but in a broken world, there's been many, many a story of kids getting saved and coming to the Lord and leading a parent or both their parents to the Lord. And so honor. Yeah, honoring, it doesn't mean you have to say, hey, everything you did was perfect or that was okay. But it definitely means, okay, God, you put there in my life, and I have a duty to that. Help me to know what to do. Right? Help me to show love to them, even if they didn't show love to me. Help me to do what's right, whether they did or not. And so honoring moms. I love how in this passage, Paul's going through this, he talks about honoring, and he talks about those who are laboring among us. So let's look at that. What about moms? Moms labor among us, don't they? Oh, yes. He's speaking more general than, but moms, I see that they fit in all these categories. He's probably thinking about leaders in the church, but really, he leaves it general. All those who labor among us, at whatever level, at whatever scope. And so, yeah, moms labor among us. They fit in that category. He mentions that there are people who serve a certain kind of labor among us, whatever it may be. And so, I think God always intends our labor to be a labor of love. He didn't intend it to be as hard as it is, right? I guess it was the man, Adam. The ground is cursed for your sake. So from the sweat of your brow, you're gonna bring up some food for your family to eat. Well, so it's going to resist. There's a little bit of resistance in this world because of our sin. And yet that good principle of, but I'm still going to labor. I'm still going to do the hard work. And so moms do a lot of hard work. A labor of love, and it's very trying for all of us. Love tries you, or tests you, puts you on the anvil and pounds on you. You know, whatever image works for you. Love tries us and tests us, and it refines us if we'll let it. And so that's why all moms need God in their life, helping them and strengthening them for the labor that is before them. It's no wonder that countless young women are fearful or intimidated by such a thing. I think sometimes we can be too quick to say, to kind of dump on that. Instead, let's keep mothering at that. Yeah, it is a scary thing, but you can do it. If you'll trust God, if you'll lean into Him. So I think we got to be careful of, because the way these, I think some of these culture wars are designed to make us be lobbing, you know, bombs on the other side. Oh, yeah, take that. You guys are just too chicken, you know, whatever. No, let's not do that. No, it is a heavy thing. It is a weighty thing. And there's no, anybody in their right mind would be intimidated. And I'm pretty sure every woman coming to the first child they're ever going to have is a little intimidated by it, you know, having never been through it before. And so God's grace, God's help. All labor has a way of bringing more out of us than we believe possible, because we are capable of growing as people in ways that our flesh doesn't want to. And I'll leave that as that. So honor here is connected to the word recognize. recognize, or some versions may see say it a little bit differently, but recognize those who labor among you. It involves seeing them, but with a perception, right? See them. Don't just let it be like out of sight, out of mind, but also perceive from God's perception what's going on there. Pay attention. See them, and see them as God sees them, an important part of his creative work on this planet. They have a God-given place, and so that takes us to our next point. He talks about those who have authority in the Lord. Now, parents have authority that comes directly from God, right? He not only gave them the ability to have children, you could say the right. I got the right to have a child. Yes, yes you do. But then also once you exercise that right, the duty to raise, the responsibility to raise up a child in the admonition of the Lord, as the scriptures tell us. And so God's one who holds parents accountable for raising those kids in a good way. It's God who puts them over kids. And so it's tragic to see many ways that our state is elevating itself and transgressing this primary authority. Let's recognize how we got here. You see? So as families fall apart in dysfunction and people not doing the duty, exercising the right, but not following it up with the duties, you get situations where kids get abused. And I do believe there is a place when if a child is being abused in some way that those around them need to step in. However, you had better be right. Right? I mean, what's the definition of abuse? And when do we stop? When do we start? Who's in charge of that? And so I do really believe it's like you're stepping into holy ground. And you better take your shoes off first. And you better be prayed up and really be led by the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? And so, and that's definitely not our society. That's not our culture. And so there gets to be this, well, we can't trust parents to raise kids because they don't do it right. So we'll step in. Well, the state, what's the definition of doing it right? Well, the state doesn't have a definition, God's definition of doing it right. And so for every case you could point to and say, well, maybe in this case it was good that they stepped in, okay? Mom and dad strung out on drugs and the kids being not eating, you know, eating the dog food or whatever. There's horrible situations out there, and that's probably actually good compared to some of the stuff that's going out there. And so we could say, well, yeah, praise God somebody stepped in. But the flip side of that is you have, dads and moms who are having to put up with the state stepping in and helping their kid do something that's not good for them. Not good for them, but calling it good. So, yeah, it's holy ground. That's their God-given authority. Yes, they're responsible to God for it. If we're going to step into there, we better be led by God. That's all I have to say. And so it doesn't help to complain. We can complain about these things. What helps is focus on doing your duty in the lives of the kids in your life, the moms in your life, being led by the Lord to minister. Because maybe you're not a mom, but you can minister to moms. You know, maybe you're not I didn't biologically have a child, but I can watch out for the kids in the neighborhood and help them and encourage them. Maybe you're not a mom anymore, but you can come alongside of a young single mom who's never had a mom herself and help her to know what it means to be a mom. So, yeah, instead of complaining, well, it's not my duty. Yeah, well, it kind of is our duty to love one another. And so, Lord, help us in this. He says to esteem them, really long phrase, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now, esteem deals with, it's more in the mind. It's how you think about people, going back to that perception, you know, see them and perceive what they are. And it's, and then think very highly of them. Oh, yeah, we're to think very highly of moms. Not like, oh, they're perfect and never fail, but think very highly of the position they have in their life. And it's kind of one of those things, especially for kids. It's like, it's easy to take, especially when you hit your teenage years, right? Start taking pop shots at mom and dad. Oh, yeah. But you've never been a parent yet. So it's a parent. You're not a parent. And if you're complaining about how bad a job I'm doing. And so there is a certain amount of life to where when we get in those situations, you could call it comeuppance. Here comes your comeuppance, you know. It's like, okay, you find out when you have kids. But we want to be careful with that on both sides, right? Don't relish in a daughter or a daughter-in-law having a tough, James Dobson called it, a strong-willed child. I won't ask for a show of hands of anybody who was or raised a strong-willed child, but my mom did. And it was all my other, there's 14 strong-willed children in our family, and she was blessed with me. So anyways, all right, sarcasm. You are right in seeing that. So esteem them very highly in love, and so this aspect of love. Love, as I said, tests us all, and parents are to lead their kids in what it means to love, and that's a big one, especially if you got multiple kids. You know, a big part of that is helping them to understand, I love you, but I love your brother too. I love you, but I love your sister. And you guys got to get along together. And I don't know if any of you ever had to do this, sitting on the chair with your brother or sister on your lap, arms around each other for 5 minutes. That is abuse, I tell you. Man. I don't think we ever did that to our kids. There's just something wrong about that. But anyways, sometimes, you know, so you got to teach your kids, and it's not a teaching like sit down, here's L. L is for liking, you know, or O is for whatever. You know, it's not that kind of teaching. It really is you're wrestling with them in an intellectual way. And when they're really small, there's not much wrestling. There's pat on the backside, don't do that again, you know. And toys stay down on the ground level, not on your brother's head. You know, that type of stuff. But as they get older, you know, when they're 16, you're not patting on the butt anymore. You're having the, you know, and they're like, if you would just pat me on the butt and let me get out of here because I don't want to listen to your lecture anymore. But anyways, Lord help us. So in love, what does it mean to love, but also in love? So eventually a child needs to learn how to reciprocate, and that's a natural way, and some kids reciprocate quicker than others, but that's all right. We're still to love them all. Now, sometimes a parent has done things that are hurtful, like I said, but you know, sometimes the younger we are, the more likely we are to think that everything they did was hurtful, right? You know, it's just like, oh, they grounded me, and I really wanted to go out and play with my friends. Oh, I'm so mortally wounded. It's like, really? Give me a break. You know, it's like, if that's the worst that happened to you, you were one lucky kid. And so sometimes it takes a little bit of living to figure out that half the things I thought my parents were really, you know, mercilessly cruel to me were not mercilessly cruel. They were trying to teach me. They were trying to discipline me, right? And things I didn't want to be disciplined in. Shocker, right? Yeah. And so, anyways, probably the best thing for all adults is to hear. Here's a bunch of peewee kids. Teach them how to play t-ball. See you later. And all the parents leave. And, you know, it's just like, okay. So that might teach you just how fun it is to try to teach young people not just how to play t-ball, but to love each other. Yeah. So I love how it adds at the end, for the work's sake. It isn't easy doing a job. Everybody's an armchair quarterback. right? You should do this, you know. And of course, I use that on purpose because none of us are professionals. But you're looking at a person who does this for a living, you know, and it's just like, well, it should be this way, it should be that, you know. So it's like, yeah, easy said. And so, we, of course, same thing about momming, right? I don't know if it's technically a verb, but I'm from Idaho, so I get away with all kinds of Idaho-isms. Yeah. None of us are professional moms, right? But we are, you know, doing it for a living. Anyways, so respect and esteem them because they've got a difficult job. Not because they've done it perfectly, but because that's a hard job. And you know, it's like, I remember one time, you know, when people are complaining about how you're doing a job, it's like, oh, you want to do it? Oh, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be the one doing it. I just want to take pop shots at you doing it. So, all right, enough said on that. So, he ends, then he says, the last phrase is be at peace. It's actually a verb, and it's active. So we're to be making peace. Be a peacemaker. And that's a little bit different than be at peace is sit in the corner in a meditative state and, Calgon, take me away. You know, so that's being at peace, but be making peace. Be a peacemaker is what he's calling for. And so God help us to be peacemakers. And that's a big part of mom's jobs. Whether it's, even if you don't have multiple kids, you know, you've got the neighborhood kids and you get these kind of situations going on. And boy, I remember perfect strangers, me and my cousin fighting in the town square. It wasn't the town square, but it was a spot in the middle of town. Everybody drives by and a car pulls over and this lady comes out and she goes, dudes, mellow out. It was the 70s. And dudes, mellow out. So getting lectures from perfect strangers on being at peace, making peace one another. Yes, this is the same cousin who's a pastor now out there in Snohomish. So, yeah. So some people do not want to have peace. Or maybe better yet, don't know how to make peace. How to come to terms with another person in peace. And so in such cases, the best you can do is put the offer on the table and be open for change down the road. And that's not easy. It's if you got somebody who's obstinate and want to fight all the time, at some point you reach the, get away from that person. They're hostile. They say stuff that hurts, you know, and it's just like, so there's like the porcupine. Don't get too close. You're going to get quills. And so we can kind of just, but to me, it's like, okay, find a way to at least put the offer on the table. Yeah, you might have to back away, but yet be open for change and pray for change, right? Pray for change in the life. And instead of letting their flesh dictate how you respond, but let God and His Spirit teach us how to be a people working for peace. And so I think that's kind of the minimum. That God, at a minimum, the floor level is that God desires peace between us in our relationships. But even more, that they be relationships of love. Of course, if they're, you know, peace is just a facet of love. When we love each other, we will come to peace. That doesn't mean there won't be turmoil, turbulence. But we'll work together to bring it to peace. All right, two more verses, and we'll close here. Now, verse 14. We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So let's talk about pursuing what is good. Paul's phrase at the end is pretty powerful. Pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So not what your flesh tells you is good, right? rather what God says is good, both in the word, but also what he's speaking to your heart. You know, I think we need to be in the word, so that makes it easier for the Spirit to speak to us about our particular situations. And so, what is God saying in his word, but also what's he convicting me about in my heart? What's the good that needs to happen here? And that's not always easy, because sometimes the Spirit of God's dealing with you need to talk with your kid. You know, okay, you know, I've tried this before and it doesn't work, Lord, you know, and it's like, however it goes, and to respond to him, pursuing what's good. So he starts out with warning the unruly. Never have a, and it's, you know, he's thinking more just than just unruly kids, but there are some who are unruly. The word actually pictures soldiers who are out of rank. Okay? It's similar, you know, the submit word, it's taking your proper place. It's knowing, first of all, knowing what your proper place is in a context, and then taking it. The emphasis isn't on get underneath of someone else's boot. It's, this is my place in this situation, now I'm going to do it, right? This is my, and from a soldier standpoint, this is my job, or this is my Eric, you probably know all the terms, right? My orders, you know, that type of thing. And so, when a soldier's out of place or not doing their job and not where they're supposed to be, well, that's, you know, that's a soldier who's in trouble, right? That's what the word unruly means there. Now, and of course, so it could be picture that soldier who's out of rank. It could be the child who refuses to listen to their parents. It could be even the government who oversteps its bounds. Those who castigate the whole idea that God created an adult female to become or to be able to become pregnant, birthing a child and raising that child to worship their father in heaven. You know, that is frowned upon, looked down upon, actually in very ugly terms by some. And so, yeah, that's some unruliness. We will not let God tell us what we are and what we can do. We will do anything we, and you can insert the dollar signs, please. And so to warn is to admonish through teaching and cautioning. So just as we warn people at weddings that those, God's put these two people together, let no one work to put them apart, including them, right? And so there's a warning there. There's a teaching. Why? Because God's going to hold you accountable for that. Same way in this, that whether it's a child, children need to learn to listen. That doesn't, you know, I do know there's phrases out there like, first time obedience all the time, you know. Well, that would be great. The problem is as a human being, they're going to struggle with that, wrestle with that, and probably have difficulty. And so what's more important? Showing them the Lord, God's love, God's peace and truth and how he operates, his discipline, his correction, but in a godly way. Those are tough times, warning the unruly. And so just as we warn people at weddings, so we warn children. We should, as a church, warn those who attack motherhood. They're really tearing at their own foundation. And typically, pretty much people who have bought into this often haven't had good mothering in their own life. And so so they can attack that. So admonish, teach. Yeah, there is a warning. Hey, listen, you're fighting against something. You're helping to tear society apart. But at the same time, there's teaching. And help them to understand the importance of what God desires, what God's plan is. And so that part of teaching side, not just warning. So secondly, that they work directly against God, and they're going to have to answer for that. That's for sure. But until then, give across God's understanding of why moms are so important? We are all brought into the world in a weakened position, and we will die if we don't have someone who volunteers. Well, again, you had the child. You're not really volunteering. But you're not getting paid for it either, right? You know, it's just, okay. So who's going to take care of this child? And so God's designed it in such a way that, well, the one who birthed it and the one who helped conceive it would have the most natural desire and duty to take care of this child. And there's just the way it is, this helpless little thing. It's how you can fall in love with such a helpless, weak little thing, right? But they're not just a thing. They're a product of your love with another person. You know, there's just this way that God works to teach us about his love for us, even though we are weak little things at times. So warn the unruly. And the next one, comfort the faint-hearted. We're to comfort the faint-hearted. It pictures those who've lost heart and are discouraged. The word comfort here is often used in words that are spoken to someone at the death of a loved one. Okay? So when Mary and Martha's, when Lazarus, their brother, had died, the people came and were comforting them. And in fact, the word, it kind of has the concept of storytelling in it. And that's one of the things we do often at memorial services. Let's tell stories about the person. It comforts us. It encourages us to remember about them. And so there is this sense where he's saying, comfort the faint-hearted. Come alongside them. Speak to them. It pictures a very sensitive listening and then a response of encouragement. And so, wow. Young moms need to hear the stories of older moms, right? And those things need to be passed down. There's encouragement in them. And though maybe no one died, sometimes you can feel like, I lost my perfect little all by myself life, and now I've got all these duties and drudgery, and oh, I'm dead. And it's like it gets to feel like, I was just, and how many in our culture too is just, I just want to get back to partying, you know, and just like, oh God help us. It's like, yeah, we're like all a bunch of infants running around in life in adult bodies, but God through families and responsibilities and duties teaches us to grow up to be like Him. And so it becomes something greater than just a young teenager flitting around, enjoying all the novelty of the new powers and abilities I got in life. And so comfort the faint-hearted. Sometimes we can faint, get discouraged about things that are too big for us, too hard, too difficult, and a word in season, a comfort. Instead of looking down on, which is so easy to do because they can sometimes make it really easy. Oh, it's so hard. You know, just like, you know, get it together. You know, it's like, I was doing this when I was 12. No, I'm just kidding. You get, you know, it's like as they're trying to wash a dirty diaper or something, you know, whatever. I don't think they do that anymore. Praise the Lord. So, yeah. Anyways, so, Lord, help us to be comfort and to come alongside. And I don't mean comfort like they're there. I know you can't do it, and it's okay here. Sit over there, and I'll do it. No, comfort in the sense of coming alongside them, encouraging them, and strengthening them. We need to comfort young people in order to counter what's going on in our culture. Help them, tell them the stories. Help them to know, yeah, it was difficult, but God helped me, and this is how things went, and he can help you too, and you don't have to fear and be afraid. Support the weak. Supporting the weak deals with people who are, it's just they don't have strength in an area. And so it might be just maybe if you got someone who's dealing with a lot of physical problems. You know, they're just sick a lot, and that type of thing can make it difficult. It could be weak financially. It could be weak through broken relationships. So there's emotional trauma going on. So there can be many different things that makes a person kind of fall into this category that they've got a duty, they got work to do, but they're weak. And so what does he say? Support them. Come alongside and be a strength and an encouragement and a support to them so that their weakness doesn't overwhelm them. And of course, that could even be in, I think of how many, I mentioned drugs earlier, how many people in our culture, and it's only getting worse as we just throw off all restraint in this area, just get caught up in crippling, whether it's drugs, alcohol, I mean, any of those things that kind of cripple them, and it takes over their life to where that thing, their flesh desiring that thing, becomes their God. And any others, in any other relationship, not to mention the children, get sacrificed on the altar of that teeny tiny little God, is what it is, of trying to get a fix. And so supporting the weak, mothering itself is the perfect picture of supporting the weak, isn't it? Right? Come alongside and seeing the need and providing and nurturing. And it doesn't matter, anyways, I'll leave it there. Be patient with all. Be patient with all. This is the long fuse term, okay? Remember, with patience, there's two terms. One's about focuses on a long fuse. I don't blow up easily, okay? The other one focuses on sticking under there. I don't throw the load off easily. I'm done, too heavy, you know, right? And so both of them apply, but he uses the long fuse term here. Be patient with all. All relationships are made worse when we have a short fuse with one another. And sometimes we get there because we haven't dealt with things like we should. We haven't spoken up when we felt like we should say something. And so that can work to help us have a short fuse. Sometimes people have a short fuse because of past things that have happened. And so they just, they're ready to blow up. It's not about you. It has nothing to do with you. It's just that they're ready to blow up, and it doesn't take much to get them there. And so patience does not mean being silent and never dealing with an issue. Oh, I better be patient so I won't say anything. No, that's not what patience is. It involves sticking in there in a situation even when communication isn't happening until the day that we can talk. But prayerfully looking for God's understanding. Lord, how can I bring this about? I want to be patient. So what are the things that are pushing me not to be patient and help me to properly deal with them? Some of them are just inside of me. I got to deal with that. Some of them I need to say something. I need to speak. In love, I need to confront. In love, whatever the situation. Maybe it's not a confrontation. Maybe it's just a, hey, this is how you're coming across to me. And that doesn't always fix everything because people are the way they are. And so it's going to take a long time for them to capture that, internalize it, and be transformed by God if they're trying to be to change. All right, last one, Brad, if you'd come. He talks about there at the end how always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all, and I think. As we've gone through these lists, I think one of the things to say it that on the opposite way is reject an evil for evil mentality, right? This is so easy to do in any relationship. It's like tit for tat, you know, it's like pretty soon we've got this big long list built up of all the things that you've done and they've got their list of all the things that I've done. And so pretty soon you get this, we don't really say it, I'm going to give evil back for evil. But that's what we're doing. It's just instead of pursuing what's good. And that's tough because you say, well, I tried that. I pursued what was good for 2 years and they never tried good once. And so I quit, right? And so, well, that's where that patience comes in, right? Be patient with all. Well, how long do I got it? Well, that's the thing. For moms, you can say, well, until they're 18, then kick them right out, right? Well, yeah, you can do that. When do you stop being a mom, right? Well, really never. It just changes. The dynamics change as they get older and as they grow up. And so, Lord, help us to reject that evil for evil mentality. Paying back. No one ever wins. You won't win by trying to pay somebody back. And you don't win by just cutting them off either, because then the devil just wins. And so, okay, Lord, there's a burden here. Help me to carry it. Help me to rise up to the task and to trust you. And over the long haul, and to rein in my temper, yes, to exercise strength in holding up what might be difficult. And so when we resist people who are doing unrighteous things, we may do so with an eye to helping them to see the truth. And we don't do them any favors by hiding in our closets or retreating from the public debate. So, I'm talking now socially. You know, it's not my job to go try to attack, you know, what's happening in Olympia in the sense of, oh, those bad people, we need to get them. Well, yeah, I would say vote for somebody different. That's for sure. Do some different things. But listen, we don't do any favors by then just saying, well, I quit. And let's not say anything, right? It doesn't work. How many times have you felt that? We need the wisdom of God as to how and when to interject truth. But at the foundational level, we got to be the truth. God, help us to be the truth in this society, pursuing what is good, of living out the purpose and the plan of God in being a mom, in supporting the plan and purpose of God, being the recipient of a mom or being married to a mom, blessing them and encouraging them and honoring them in all they do. So support the moms in your life regardless of how well they've done because their labor is incredibly important, both in our families but also for our republic.